This morning, I would like us to speak about a subject on intentional living. You know, a lot has been said about intentional living, that you can do things intentionally. You can make choices that, I mean, for example, if you are dieting, you have to make intentional decision to avoid cake, you know, to avoid, you know, all sorts of things. You know, others take it even further, you know, they take it into their workplace, you know, how can you intentionally improve, you know, the satisfaction of your customers, wherever you work, or your clients, wherever you work. So it's quite a broader subject, but today we'll only focus on how can we live intentionally in Christ. We all remember that a few weeks ago, in fact, for I think it was about 3 or 4 Sundays, we spoke about the subject of biblical worldview. Do you remember that? We spoke about the subject of biblical worldview. And you know, the subject of biblical worldview is a subject that talks about our faith. So it basically tells us that whenever we approach life, we've got to approach it with a biblical worldview. So basically, when we approach life, we've got to put on the lens of faith. Without the lens of faith, we won't see life the way God sees it. We will see life the way everybody else sees it. So in order for us to live intentionally, in order for us to maintain a biblical perspective, we have to make some intentional decisions that when we see these particular things, when we approach this particular situation, we'll maintain the lens of faith. Say amen, somebody. So today we're going to speak about how do we maintain that lens of faith? How do we maintain that biblical perspective that we've been speaking about? Because, you know, life happens. Sometimes we become Christians, we get excited, but all of a sudden we have spiritual setbacks, and we are not able to maintain that biblical perspective. It's almost like we become bipolar. Today we believe in God, tomorrow we believe in something else. So how do we maintain that? How do we ensure that, just like Paul, we maintain that biblical perspective no matter what's happening in our life? You see, when you have a biblical perspective, even when you have riches, your riches becomes wealth. Because you've got riches, but because you've got God's lens, you know that this is not just riches, this is actually wealth. This is what God has given me to empower the kingdom. When you have a biblical perspective, when you're living in lack, you know that this is not where it ends. You know that God can bring you even to greater heights, even in your state of lack. Amen. Remember, we spoke, I think last week, somebody spoke about Paul, when Paul was in jail. Remember when Paul was in jail, he said, "My God shall supply all my riches, shall supply all my needs, rather, according to his riches in glory." And a lot of us forget that Paul spoke those words when he was in jail. He was not in a mansion at the hills. He was not staying in the Willow Park Manor where I stay. He was actually in jail. But because he had a biblical perspective, even in jail, he said, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory." Say amen, somebody. I want us to read from, I believe this is on it will be shown on the screen, from 2 Corinthians 5:17. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." So this scripture is telling us that it doesn't matter where you come from. It does not matter who you are. But if you are in Christ, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. So in other words, when we get to that state, when we are in Christ, when we get to that state, when we accept Christ, we accept a new biblical, we accept a new view and a new perspective towards life. We start this process. It's a process. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. It's a process. And when we accept him in our lives, now we obtain a biblical perspective. But Bible says all things become new. So in other words, even the way we think, the way we see situations, the way we see money, the way we see our families, the way we see our friends changes. Why? Because we are in Christ. Say amen, somebody. So when we are in Christ, whenever we look around us, we have to look through the lens of faith. Say amen, somebody. I would like us to go to the next scripture there. I think it's Romans 10, 6 to 8. Romans 10, 6 to 8 says, "The person who does these things will live by them." Obviously, there's a background there, so perhaps you will read it when you get home. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. So this scripture is basically telling us that in order to obtain a biblical perspective, we don't need, I mean, it even says that we don't even need to say, Christ, come down. We don't need to go around looking for prophets and all sorts of people. But when we believe the word, we've got the word with us. And when we believe the word and we allow it to be in our hearts, then that's when the change happens. It says the word is near you, it is in your mouth, and it is in your heart. So it is not difficult to have a biblical perspective. As long as we read the word of God and allow it to take place in our hearts, then we will have a biblical perspective. Let's go on to the next scripture today. I think it's 1 John 5:3. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is the love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commands are not burdensome. So this scripture, related to the previous one, is telling us that the commands of God, which is the word of God, they are not burdensome. Some versions say they are not, the commandments of God are not grievous. So whenever we hear the word of God, as long as we are in Christ, as long as we accepted Christ, God has given us the ability to take that word into our hearts and to be able to put it into place. So that's how we start the process of maintaining a biblical perspective. We have to get to the basics. The basics are taking the word of God, putting it, allowing it to stay in our hearts and believe it. So in other words, as I've already said, how can we then maintain a biblical perspective? We can do that. We can maintain a biblical perspective or a biblical worldview by growing spiritually. We can do that by growing spiritually. It's very basic. It's very simple. So what we're just talking about basics, nothing hard. And we can also do that by remaining strong in our faith. Amen. So how many of us wants to grow spiritually? How many of us want to remain strong in our faith? Amen. So, I once had a preacher, I think Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin said this words. He said, spiritual growth follow the same pattern as physical or natural growth. So spiritual growth mimics how we grow in the physical. We know that growing in the physical requires that as babies we need to drink milk and all that. We need to take very nutritious food. That's what we know. And the same thing applies in the spiritual. When we receive Christ, when we are in Christ, we have to start a process of growing towards what God wants us to be. Otherwise, we end up getting kwashioko in the spirit, so to say. You know, when a baby becomes stunted and they stop growing and eventually they die. I mean, that happens in war zones. We know all about that. So the same thing happens to us. But also added to that, you know that in the physical we get sick. People are getting flu sometimes. And when you get sick, your health suffers. And the same thing happens to us spiritually. Sometimes we get sick spiritually. We have spiritual setbacks. And we end up sort of losing the biblical worldview. Not that we're losing it, but we get discouraged. And we start questioning God. Is this really God? So what can we do? The very same things that we can do in the physical to remain strong in faith. There are principles that we can apply spiritually in order to maintain our biblical worldview. So to speak. Say amen, somebody. So I want us to define what it means then when we speak about intentional living. So basically, intentional living, this is the English dictionary, it says, when you do things on purpose. So I want us to ask ourselves, what is it that we can do purposefully to grow spiritually? What is it that we can do purposefully to respond to the word of God? You know, it talks about calculated, when you take calculated moves, when you take conscious decisions. In Northern Sutura, my chemistry, you know, my chemistry, what are your intentions? In Afrikaans, unfortunately, John is not here. Oh, Ruan is there. It says, opset leke, you know, intentions, or dual bevaste. In Zulu, ngetloso,
yenziwe ngohloso. So you're doing something deliberately. And as we go through these definitions, I just want you sort of to think about what is it that you can intentionally do to walk towards God has told you. In Shona, chiziva, you know. So that's what it means to live intentionally. And the antonym of that, or the opposite of that, is accidental, you know. So basically, you cannot grow up spiritually accidentally. You cannot have a biblical worldview accidentally. Amen. I mean, just think about it for a moment. Imagine, Pilar, if you were to say to us, I just woke up and I found myself down on my knees in the morning and tears streaming down and I was praying. I don't know what happened, but I just found myself down on my knees and praying. Does that happen? Can it happen accidentally? It does not happen. If that happens to you, Pilar, then you are on tracks or something. But it does not happen because there's a process that allows you, that you can go through, that will get you to a state where you can actually rise up in the morning and pray. And that is when you do it intentionally and you tell yourself that at 5 a.m. today, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to pray. So that's an intention that you do. And that helps you to maintain your biblical worldview. That helps you to grow towards God. And that also helps you to live intentionally in everything that you do. So basically, when we say intentional living in Christ, we say that you are making decisions that promote, we are making decisions that promote our position in Christ as his disciples. So when we walk out of this door today, what decisions can we make that will promote our position in Christ as his disciples? And that will result in growth. What decisions can we make that will prompt us to live by faith? What decisions can we make that will cause us to renew our minds? Amen. So I'd like us to read from Romans 5, 15 to 20. Romans 5, 15 to 20. It says, be very careful then how you live. And you say, this is from Scripture. This is not even from any of the quotations that we have been using from Scripture. Is telling us we need to be careful. In other words, we need to make intentional decisions. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So this scripture is basically setting us the foundation for us. It's telling us that be careful how we live. And how can we be careful how we live? We can be careful by understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen, somebody. Do not get drunk in wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this scripture here is setting the ground for us. It's telling us that we should be careful how we live. We should be careful about the decisions that we make. It's further telling us that we should know the will that God has for our lives. And as we've already said, the will that God has for our lives is in the Word. It's in the Bible. Now and then you'll get a word of prophecy encouraging you. But God's will for our lives is right here in the Bible. Amen. And now I would like us to look at a few quotations that speak about living intentionally. This was said by Pastor Rick Warren. The previous one, it says, you have to make intentional choices in order to grow. So like I've said originally, regardless of what industry you are in, today, we're not talking about those industries. Today, we're not talking about, it applies there as well, but we're talking about growing spiritually, maintaining a biblical worldview. So we have to make intentional choices in order to grow. And then let's see the next one there. It's talking about, if I wanted to make a difference, wishing for things to change won't make them change. Hoping for improvements won't bring them. So in other words, if we sit down and hope for improvements in our lives, if you sit down and hope that you will start praying, it won't happen up until you get down on your knees and you pray. Amen. So if you sit down and hope that your relationship with your friend will improve, it won't improve up until you walk up to them and apologize. So that's how we make intentional decisions. You can give us the next one there. It says, actually, when you get right down to it, intentional living is about living your best story. So when you get up down about it, intentional living is about living your best story. Why is that? Because when you know the purpose that God has for your life, you start taking steps toward that purpose. You start taking steps. For example, if you know that God has called you to teach the word or to preach the word, now you start getting aligning yourself with people who preach the word, people who teach the words, to teach the word rather. Why? Because you want to grow towards that goal that God has put in your heart. Amen. If you know that you are into caring for children, you start, you know, working with NGOs that deal with caring for children. So you're making intentional moves toward what God has called you to do. I mean, this applies to a range of issues. It can even apply to laziness. If you know that sometimes you just get lazy, you know, whatever, to rise up in the morning or to walk to church, you make intentional decisions that, Lord, I'm going to wake up today. I'm going to go to church. So that's what we're talking about today. So I want us to go through, I'll only cover three points since we're running out of time. I want us to look at the story of Abraham and how he responded to God, how he maintained a biblical worldview. And then the first point I want to cover there is that in order to maintain a biblical worldview, we have to respond to God. We have to respond to what God is saying to us. Some of us responded to God when we became Christians. But for some of us, that's where we stopped. We stopped responding to Him. We become Christians and then we stopped there. We need to, in order to keep a biblical worldview, we need to constantly be responding to God. Be responding to His word. Be responding to His ways. We read here from Genesis 12:1 that the Lord said to Abraham, I think it's over there, yes, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. We must remember that at this point in time, Abraham was at his father's house. He was actually living in comfort. He was not struggling with anything. He was in fact, his family was even wealthy. They were not struggling at all. But in the midst of even that comfort, God came to him. And the Lord said to him, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. Amen. So for many of us in this place, sometimes God comes to us and tells us that, I want you to move away from this. Or I want you to move away from that. It does not have to be about, listen to me, I'm not saying we must leave the country. This is what God was telling Abraham. So I'm not saying you must leave for Zim tomorrow or for the UK tomorrow or wherever. But what I'm saying to us is that God came to Abraham, and God also comes to us and asks some things of us. He asks us to make particular decisions. It might even be about that television program that you enjoy. Sometimes you may feel the Holy Spirit prompting you that instead of watching this, you need to be praying or go visit a friend or go minister to someone. So we need to be in a state where we are able to hear God and where we are able to respond. And we know if we read the rest of that Genesis 12, we know that Abraham took steps. And the step that he took, he left his father's house. He left with his wife, he left with his niece, and left looking for a place. And remember, God did not tell him go to Canaan. God told him to come out. It's only when he came out that God started giving instructions that actually I'm going to make you a great nation. That actually you're going to be, God even revealed to him the challenges that he's going to face. He said, your people are going to be slaves for 400 years. But why was God revealing to him? Because he was responsive. He was taking steps towards the goal that God has given him. Amen. So I want to encourage us as well that we became Christian, but let it not stop there. Let's keep on responding to what God is saying to us. God is speaking to us through His word. Now and then, like we said, God, somebody may prophesy over your life. Respond to that. Respond to what God is saying to you. And it's amazing because remember, at this point in time, Abraham was actually staying in a place called Ur of the, I don't know how to pronounce this. I think it's called Ur of the Chaldeans, something like that. And according to historians, that place is Iraq or closer to Turkey. And that was a place actually occupied by Arabs, which means he's actually an Arab. He came from that particular place, from his father's house. Remember, there was no nation of Israel. There was no Israel. It was one man and his family coming out of a particular community, coming out of a particular tribe. And God said, out of you, I will make a nation. And when did that happen? That happened after 400 years. Imagine. Now, also, I want us to look at the second point there, that we need to believe God. Now, we respond to God, isn't it? We spoke about responding to God, responding to God's call. Not just believe in God, because most of us, we believe in God. But do we believe God? Because believing God is about, when you're going through seasons in life, it's about believing the word of God that comes to you. And we read here from Genesis again, 15, 1 and 6. It said, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your very, I think that is, I'm your shield and your very great reward. It's an end there. So it says that, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. And if we go over to 6, it says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. Now, we must remember that Abraham left his father's house. But after he left his father's house, quite a number of things happened. He had had quite a number of setbacks. In fact, there's a point where he had to lie about his wife. That is not my wife. It's my sister. He was actually lying. He was trying to save his skin. He was being a coward. He thought, because my wife is beautiful, if I say it's my sister, now the Egypt, in Egypt, they won't attack me. Because she's beautiful, I'm the brother, and then they will also protect me. He was actually lying. And then we read about quite a number of things that also happened in between that time and here. He still had no child. God had told him, you'll have a child. That child, you know, that's how you will become a nation. But he still had no child. That's why this scripture says, if you read it properly, it says, after these things, meaning that after everything that has happened, the word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, do not be afraid. And even us, after we've responded to God, God keeps on coming to us. He keeps on coming to us to give us courage. He keeps on coming to us to encourage our faith. He keeps on coming to us and say, do not be afraid. So I want to encourage you that keep on listening to what God is saying to you. Keep on listening to the word of God when it comes to you. What is God saying to you? What are the words of courage that God is bringing to you? God will never leave you or forsake you, just like he never left Abraham. He gave Abraham a purpose. But after that, he went back to Abraham and he said, do not be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward. And I believe that those are the words that God is saying to us even today. That regardless of wherever you are, you have responded to me. That's a tick. But I want you to hear me today. I am your exceeding great reward. I am your shield, regardless of what you're going through. So the journey continues. The journey with God continues. And then the next point I want us to look at, and we must remember that, as I'm saying, it's about how we respond to God. Remember that even during the history of Israel, Eli or Eli stayed with Samuel. And Samuel kept on hearing the voice of God. Samuel kept on hearing the voice of God. But Eli advised him and said, when you hear the voice of God, when you hear that voice, it's God. And say to him, what is it that I should do? What do you want me to do? And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Keep on seeking to hear the word of God. Keep on seeking to hear the voice of God. And ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do, Lord? And in that way, we'll maintain our biblical worldview. Amen. And then also, I want us to look at what Abraham did. One of the things that Abraham did was to stick to his guns. Basically, he believed what God said he should do, and he did it. Even when things were tough, he decided to stay the course. And many of us sometimes, we get discouraged. Many of us sometimes, we make a decision, but then we pull back because of the challenges that we face in life. We start pulling back. We start not believing what God is saying. And we can see here from Genesis 24, verses 2 to 4. Let me read it from my Bible here. Genesis 24, verses 2 to 4. It says, now Abraham was old. Actually, from 2, it says, so Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh. Please do not do that at home. It was their culture, so I guess that's how they did it. But anyway, it says, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country, to my family, and take a wife from for my son Isaac. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and saw to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. We can see here that here Abraham is living strict instructions, because he knows that once he changes from what God has told him, that will actually have an impact on the vision that God has given him. There will be no Israel. There will be no nation of Israel. And here Abraham gives strict instruction. He says, this is what God told me. He said God told him that they need to come out of that place where they were and establish a new nation. He's even telling him, if this wife refuses to come along, she refuses to come along, then leave her behind. But my son should remain here. Because he was basically sticking to his guns. And that's what we need to do. We need to stick to what God has told us to do. And when we stick to what God has told us to do, we maintain a biblical worldview. Amen. So I want us to think about instances in our lives where God has spoken to us. For some of us, like I said, it might be about receiving Christ in our lives. But I believe we've all received Christ in our lives. But there are instances, there are situations that we need to maintain a biblical perspective. There are situations that we need to respond to God. It might be about even some stubborn habits we have. It might be about, you know, situations at work, or even, you know, going to work late. Instead of 8, you arrive at 9:30 at work. What intentional decisions can we make today? That's what I want us to walk out of this place today. Or what intentional decisions can we make today that will enable us to maintain a biblical perspective, that will enable us to have a comeback even when we get discouraged? What intentional decisions can we make, and that we may have a comeback, and that we may maintain the faith that God has given us? Amen. As I said, I'm going to be very brief. I've reached the end of our sermon today. I hope you're happy you can go home a bit early. But I would like us to stand up right now. I'd like all of us to stand up right now. And just go back and read Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 there. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Even as we close our eyes right now, I want you to think about the moment when you allowed the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. I also want you to think about the ways of wisdom, the ways of prophecy that you have received from God. Has God laid anything in your heart with regards to your job? Has God laid anything in your heart with regards to your family? Has God laid anything in your heart with regards to ministry? What has God laid in your heart? And if you're standing here and you're saying, God has not laid anything in my heart, I want you to also ask God, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I want you to say to God, Lord, I want to be an Abraham. I want to hear you and I want to respond to you. What is it that you want me to do? What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? I want to respond to you, Lord. I want to keep a biblical perspective. I want to put on the lens of faith. But Lord, I cannot do it if I don't know what you want me to do. So Lord, even right now, I ask you, Lord, to show us, Lord, to deposit your word in our hearts. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we may hear the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to us today. Lord, you know the stubborn habits that we have in our lives. Father God, you know where we lack in our relationships. You know where we lack in our marriages. Father God, you know where we lack even financially. But Lord, we ask you today to deposit your word in our hearts. We ask you today, Lord, to speak a word. And Lord, when we speak that word, Lord, we make a commitment to respond to it. Let's pray all over this place today. Lord, when you speak your word today, Lord, we choose to respond to it. We choose to respond to your word, Father God. We choose not to be stubborn, Lord. We choose to hear your word, Lord. We choose, Lord, to start practicing habits, Lord, that will get us closer to you. We choose, Lord, to start practicing habits, Lord, that will enable us, Father God, to hear from you. We choose, Lord, to start practicing habits, Lord, that will enable us, Father God, to follow our purpose, just like Abraham did. Yes, just keep on praying to God. Just keep on hearing to God. Even when you are quiet, listen to what God is saying to you. Is it about even volunteering in a particular ministry in the church? What is your response to that? Is it about your neighbor across the road? What is your response? What is God saying to you today? Is it about your commitment to Him? Is it about is it about laziness? Is it about rising up early in the morning and praying? Is it about the friends that you keep? Listen to what God is saying to you today and make a decision to respond. And once you respond to the word of God, once you respond to what God is saying to you, God will come back to you again and give you courage. God will come to you and tell you, I am your shield. God will come to you and tell you that do not be afraid. God will come to you and say that I will walk with you. I know the plans that I have for your life. Plans of life and a good future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. We thank you, mighty God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you today. We make decisions today, Father God, to respond to you. We make decisions today, Father God, to maintain a biblical worldview, regardless of what's going around us, regardless of what the media is saying, regardless of what's going on in our communities. Lord, we make decisions today to respond to you. We make decisions today to respond to you, Lord. As we keep our eyes closed in this place, if you happen to be here today and you have not received Christ in your life, you have not taken the first step of responding to God. Like we said, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. If you have not taken that step to be a new creature in Christ, just lift your hand. If you have not taken that step yet. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you that as we go out from here, let's keep on responding to God. Let's keep on hearing what the Lord is saying to us. Thank you very much, church. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you have had your word, Lord. Your word will have a place in our hearts, Lord. Even as we go out of this place, Lord, we choose, Lord, to go and implement your word. We choose, Lord, to go and respond to you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for everybody's well-being. I pray that even as we go out, Father God, we go out with joy, we go out with peace, and we go out with rest. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. 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 And if you need prayer or anything, you can come in front. We've got some leaders around. They will also come and pray with you. Thank you, church.